Daniel, as we have discovered over the past few weeks, some of the lessons, and I will just remind us of that. You've got to know who you really are. You've got to know your identity. Who you are in Christ is what I want to say, that we are children of the living God. Do you know that many people are searching for an identity? But we have an identity in Christ as children of the living God. We were created in the image of God. And God wants us to live in that identity. Not in the identity that the world gives you or people have given you or tried to mold you into, but it's in Christ's identity that we can live. You've got to know who's really in control. You know, as we look at our world and as we see wars and rumors of wars, as we see evil in the world, we do wonder, goodness me, what on earth is happening in our world? Is anyone in control? It may seem that dictators and politicians may be in control. But let me tell you, there's only one person in control, God. God is in control. And we saw that through chapter 2. God had the power to raise up kingdoms, and God had the power to take down kingdoms. Number 3, from the fiery furnace, you've got to know who you can depend on. You've got to know who you can depend on. Let me tell you, you can depend on God. I thank God for friends. I thank God for family. And you know, whenever we have hassles or trials, thank God for the friends and the family that come around us. But the sad thing is, sometimes our friends and family let us down. Sometimes people let us down. But God will never let you down. Beware, number 4, beware of pride. You know, God will come after the pride in our life. He wants us to walk in humility. And number 5 that we saw last week, do you know when Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind? And it says, I looked to heaven and my sanity was restored, and I praised and worshipped the true and living God, the Most High God. And whenever you are facing stuff, whenever you're facing times of anxiousness and worry and stress, whenever people are coming against you, look up. Look, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So Daniel chapter 6. Daniel in the lion's den. How many remember that from Sunday school? Daniel in the lion's den. Who remembers the pictures? I actually wondered if it actually happened like that. Daniel lion with his head against the lion. Just going, isn't this nice? Been thrown into a den of lions. Anyone seen a lion? Anyone seen a real live lion? Without any cage. Only one time in all the years that we used to visit zoos, one time at Glasgow Zoo, Edinburgh Zoo, this lion just came. I knew something was going on when I seen the truck heading up towards the pound with this big dead gazelle on it, and I thought, oh, it's feeding time. It is feeding time. And this truck went in, and they put the dead animal there, and then they drove out, and then they just let the lions out. And they all came, and all these lions came round this thing, and they never touched it. They were sniffing at it. And this one lion came and roared. And I'll tell you that the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. The roar went through you. And all these other lions scattered. And this lion was to feed first. So lions, not just a cub, but real lions. And Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. So if you've got a Bible, we're just going to read the first 10 verses of the book of Daniel. Page 716 there. Darius the Mede, reading from verse 1, decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed high officers to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and the high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling the government affairs. Jealousy was being raised up. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion, his faith in God. Wow. The only thing they could find was his faith in God. Wow. I would love that as a testimony. I mean, how many of us, if we, our lives were scrutinized, how would we feel? Can you imagine if I'd says, oh, by the way, church, this morning, I just want to let you know that during the week while you were out, we had come into your house, put cameras all over your house. There, we're now just going to play it. There, how many of us like, oh, goodness, I shouldn't have shouted at my wife. I shouldn't have shouted at my kids. We haven't, so relax. Okay. Our life's been scrutinized. How many of us can live up to just that scrutinization there? Daniel passed the test. Yeah. So the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for the next 30 days that any person who prays to anyone divine or human except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so that cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, pulled the curtains closed, shut the windows, shut the doors, went in secret. No. He went as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Wow. Wow. The story of Daniel is, I believe, an insight into the spiritual warfare that we are in as believers there. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Daniel came to the attention of the king very quickly. He came to the attention of other kings, interpreting dreams. There was something in Daniel's life, I believe his faith in God, you know, his character, and that raised him up, and promotions. Daniel prayed three times a day. Daniel was faithful. He was always responsible. He was completely trustworthy. And Daniel was chosen, which raised jealousy. In the king's government, King Darius's government, there was money going missing. There was corruption happening. And so the king decided he needed men who he could trust, who would be of good character. And Daniel was one of them. But the jealousy rose up, and these men decided to get the king to sign an edict that no one should pray to any other god other than the king. No one else for 30 days. Put yourself in Daniel's place as you hear that. 30 days. Well, what's 30 days? I mean, let's just pray to the king. Let's not pray. Let's just not pray for a month. Wait till it's over and then get back into prayer. But Daniel would not be deterred. Daniel would not be deterred. Daniel was faithful. He was faultless and he was fervent in prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. Come on, tell someone beside you. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a victim of his own integrity. And you know, when we live our Christian lives, do you know the way that God wants us to live our lives? Do you know, you will be... called. Who's been called a Bible thumper? Do you know what I mean? A religious nut? Do you know what I mean? A freak, whatever. Old fashioned, contentious, whatever. Standing up, you will raise up. And people will be jealous at times. But also, people are watching our lives to see if our faith is actually genuine. See if our faith is actually genuine. But you know, this edict of stopping prayer, all through Daniel, you will see there is just a coming against his religion. As you go into chapter 7, a powerful king will be raised up, and he will try to change their sacred festivals and their laws. In chapter 8, a powerful king will be raised up, and he will stop the regular burnt offerings that they were given and required by the law of Moses. Chapter 9, God is speaking through Daniel, and Daniel is in prayer confessing the sins of his nation for leaving God, for deserting God. Chapter 10 to 12, other kings will be raised up to stop the worship of God. And here, today, in the United Kingdom, I believe there is things that are wanting in spirit. The spirit of this world, of this age, is wanting to stop our worship of God. You know, I do remember, again, in school, every morning we said the Lord's Prayer. We prayed. Our teachers would be reading the Word of God to us. Our teachers would be speaking about God. But now everything has been removed. Wanting to remove God from society. Because the Babylonian kingdom is a me mentality. Do you know, when they built the city of Babylon, or the Tower of Babel, remember, they built this tower to God. Their mentality was, let us make a name for ourselves. And so there's an onslaught of trying to wipe out and come against Daniel's religion. When Daniel learned of this law, he went home, and his windows were open, and he prayed. And I could just see these men probably waiting outside this woman to see this window to see if Daniel was going to pray. And he was very predictable, because he did pray. Daniel had a choice. Daniel had a choice. Stand with conviction for his faith, or bow to the demands of the culture. That is a choice we face today, church. That's a very difficult choice we face today, to stand for our faith in God or bow to the influence of our culture. We need believers today who are committed to Christ. Come on, turn to the person beside you and say, "You committed?" Yes. Hopefully they'll say yes. Come on, the other person, the other side of you, say, "You committed?" User, guys online, now, "You committed?" We need people who are committed to Christ. A resolve in our hearts. Daniel, it says, resolved in his heart in chapter 1 that he would not eat the king's food. Food that was served to idols. It would break the law of Moses, of the things that he would eat. And wanting not to partake of that, and so resolved. And it says that he asked permission. He didn't come out and protest. He didn't stand outside the palace with placards and say, "I am protesting against this, about having to eat the king's food." He asked for permission, and it says that God gave Daniel favor. God gave the servant just that favor of letting Daniel go for 10 days and his friends with eating vegetables. What about Christianity today? What's your thoughts about Christianity today? You know, some people say that we live with a convenient Christianity. As long as it's convenient, if it's convenient, then I'm in. But once it starts eating into my time, then I'm out. Convenient Christianity. Or is it cultural Christianity, where we just invite the things of the culture, our world's culture, into the church because we want to be relevant, don't we? We want to be accepting. We want to see people come to our churches. And sometimes we are compromising the Word of God. And we're just being molded and shaped by our culture. That, sadly to say, is what is happening with a lot of our churches. But we need churches and people who are all in. All in. There's a story of a chicken and a pig walking down the road, talking with each other, and they see this homeless man there, hasn't eaten for a long time, and so the chicken and the pig get talking, and the chicken says, "We need to do something for this man." And they're like, "Well, what are we going to do?" He says, "Well, we need to do something." And so as they talk, the chicken comes up with a great idea. "Let's give this man bacon and eggs." Great idea. And then the pig thought. It says, "Wait a minute. For you, it's a contribution for the chicken. But for me, it's all in. I will lose my life." And you know, for us, believers today, are we making a contribution or are we all in? Daniel was a man who was all in. Daniel was a man who was all in through the hard times, through the tough times, and through the good times. This edict was signed. Daniel was guilty. He was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He didn't try to work out an escape or the consequences of the king. Once it was written, it was done. He did not know what would happen to him once he was in with those lions. Didn't make a deal with God as we do. "God, get me out of this and I'll be in church every week for the next 10 months. God, give me that check for £50 that I need and I'll tithe on it." We make deals with God, do we not? Daniel never made a deal with God. Daniel allowed himself to be thrown into the lion's den. And what happens? And let me say, some of us need to hear this. Not everybody in our world is against you. Do you mean those people who don't believe in God? Not everyone is against you. They're not losing sleep at night wondering how they're going to rub you up the wrong way or come against your faith. Some of our people are for us. They're watching us thinking, is this faith real? Is this faith real? King Darius was trying everything that he could to get Daniel out of this. But he couldn't, because once a king made a decree, that was it. And so King Darius would say, Daniel, I am hoping that your God is going to get you out of this. The king loses sleep at night. He can't sleep. He is worrying about Daniel. First thing in the morning, he is down there. Daniel, are you all right? And then the voice comes, yes. God has saved me. God has saved me. I think this story should be the lions in Daniel's den. Because that became a place, a secure place for Daniel, where God's protection was on him. Were these lions hungry? You bet they were. Because you see, when they bring Daniel out and they throw the other men, even before they hit the ground, the lions were all over them and tore them to pieces. Put yourself in the lion's place. I want to eat him, but you can't. God was protecting Daniel. And here is what happens when men and women stand their ground and believe God and trust God. The king declared, for he is the living God, right there at the end of chapter 6. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed. His rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions, and I want to throw in, and he will rescue you. Amen. Come on, tell someone, he'll rescue you. You know, church can be interactive. Come on, some of you may need to just nudge the person beside you and waken them up and say, he will rescue you. He will rescue you. Okay, nearly finished. Okay, Stephen, I've heard you talk a lot. What is it that you want me to know today as I walk through these doors, as I go home to my Sunday lunch? What is it that I need to take with me from this place today? I want to encourage you to resolve in your heart now that you will serve God and follow him. Make a decision now. Make a decision now. Do you know, we all have a trajectory of our life. The decisions that you make today will depend or show you where your life is going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The decisions that you make will determine the direction of your life. The decisions that Annette and I made, even in the most difficult times, has caused us to be in a place today. We are blessed. We are totally blessed. I mean, I would never have dreamed of becoming a pastor. I mean, someone that was shy, frightened to speak, afraid of people. And God puts in you a call to be a pastor and having to work through all the stuff. But it's the choices that we make. Daniel resolved in his heart that he was going to stay faithful to God. And here's the thing. Daniel was a young man when he came, some say between 14 and 17, when he was taken from Jerusalem into Babylon, into a foreign land, made a slave, and then God promoted him. But you know, in the lion's den, six chapters later, Daniel is between 80 and 90 years of age. Between 80 and 90 years of age. The resolve at the beginning was still the same resolve at the end. And you know, us older ones have in our minds, because I'm old, that we want to finish well. I want to finish my race well. You know, our younger ones, I'm sure you're not thinking about finishing well. You're just starting. You're just starting to live that life. But let me tell you, the decisions that you make today, each day, because sometimes every day you have to make that same resolve. God, today. God, today. God, today. God, today. And I'll go the other way. God, today. God, today. A resolve in our hearts. Are you getting it? Resolve. Come on. I know you hate this. Say to someone, resolve. Are you resolved? Number two, which will be quicker. Christians. As Christians, we should expect opposition. Jesus received opposition. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Expect opposition. Number three, if God can deliver Daniel from the lion's den, if he can deliver these three young men from the fiery furnace, he can deliver you. Because the same God then is the same God today. Number four, God can use us to touch unlikely people when we are faithful to him. God can touch unlikely people when we are faithful to him. Your stand for God, you don't know the influence that's going to have on other people. We saw it in Nebuchadnezzar. We're seeing it with Darius. So as you live your life, know that you are influencing someone in your life. And number five, God always delivers in his time, not in our time. If only God would listen to us and do it in our time. God, I've asked you to do it, but it's his time. Why? Because God is doing something in us. God is building trust. He is building faith. He is building our character and wants us to live our lives with a complete trust in him.